We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Into the 4 o'clock hour, we go. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Quick question for our producer.
What you got?
You changed the open yet?
Ah. You said you wanted to change it.
Told me to remind you.
You did, but that was supposed to be off the air reminder. I mean, geez.
Sorry about that.
Chris doesn't waste an opportunity to throw me under the bus. But you guys told me not to change it.
You said it needs to be changed.
But you guys told me not to change it.
I think it's pretty good.
I like it.
Honestly.
All right, then we'll keep it.
I think you're safe for a while.
You said you were sick of it.
You said I'm done with that.
Yeah, but I'm also the guy who gets a song going on his phone, and then I listen to a minute of it, and I go to the next song. So I can't wait until things are over.
Oh, you're that. So you don't.
I'm impatient.
How do you get a chance to really enjoy an album then? Because if you just turn in the... Sometimes an album takes some time to, like, you got to let it marinate a little bit.
I don't really listen to music.
That makes sense. That
I mean, I do, but I
totally
don't.
Makes sense. To
I know, like, I listen to radio stations from time to time, but I'm
that's
not.
That's not. Listening.
I'm not up on music at all.
All right. Chris
Did
versus
I just
the fan.
Stop the show or something.
Chris versus the fan coming up here. Chance to qualify for two tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco at the Encore Theater. And a one-night stay at Wynn Las Vegas, following 19 sold-out shows in 2022 and his brand-new Netflix special titled, Is It Me? Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco is set to return to the iconic Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas with the brand-new residency. It was his brand-new residency. Ah, they went back to it. It's not January 6th and 7th. What was it, March?
It's March.
October?
March through October, right?
Yeah, it's March or October.
March,
for sure.
March through October. They
yeah,
tried
Scraby's
to,
got the wrong.
They tried to squeeze me here with the 2 days.
I wish you would stop saying, like, I'm the only one who does the sheet. If you guys want to do the sheet, please do the sheet.
I didn't blame you, buddy. I'm just saying.
I'm yelling at that guy.
I'm just saying he's not there twice a month for 7 months. He's there every day for 7 months. So have at it. Tickets are available. On sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Let's get to some Chris versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I want you guys to pay close attention to the master class that Chris Ello is putting on right now.
What?
And what? Getting under someone's skin. He's been able to accomplish it really all show today. Whether it's been golf, whether it's been us going off the air for a little bit of time.
Which?
He has really put on a class.
A clinic.
Clinic, if you will. Of how you insert yourself under someone's skin.
Yeah, you're doing a really good
job.
Chris.
Well done, Chris.
One
job
thing
well
I've done.
Done
an awful job of is answering questions on Chris versus the Fans the last couple of days.
Chance to redeem
yesterday.
Yourself. Yeah, chance to redeem yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Yesterday was an embarrassment. Let's see what happens today.
Who ended up winning yesterday?
I don't even know.
Jerry from Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
He
didn't even call in the play.
No, he called in to tell you that your dad used to drive his car through his car wash.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
That was the only reason Jerry called and ended up with a trip to Las Vegas, and he already lives in Las Vegas.
I do remember that. I do remember that.
All right, Scrave, give us the rules, man.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
Boom. All right. Well, boom. Let's get to our first contestant, Matt, out in Santee. Welcome to the show. Happy Thursday.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. Well. Pretty good.
Here we go. First question.
Hey, while we're getting...
oh, never mind. No, no, no. Go ahead.
I would say, while we're getting on you, how's my Tony versus the Fans intro coming along?
That's right.
Forgot about it, to be
Matt
honest.
Matt had called. I think he was playing that one.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He was like, you know, why don't we have an intro for Tony versus the Fan when
for when we need it?
When we need it.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can do that.
We'll see. All right, Matt, you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
There we go. First question. At the 2012 Summer Games in London, who broke the record for the most Olympic medals won to become... Okay, let's try this again.
Yeah, one more time?
Yeah. At the 2012 Summer Games in London, who broke the record for the most Olympic medals won to become the most decorated Olympian of all time?
That'd be Michael Phelps.
That'd be correct. Nice work.
Nice job.
Question number two.
Sorry, you broke up. What'd you say?
Oh, I say I forgot his name like halfway through.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He hasn't been around much late, as of late. I know he's a Ravens fan, so he must be nervous about Lamar Jackson.
Must be nervous about Lamar Jackson.
UCLA basketball plays its home games at what venue?
I got no clue.
Don't know that one. What'd you say?
Not from Arena.
I don't know that.
He has no idea.
Oh.
All right. This is a tough one.
Maybe it's just because I grew up in L.A.
Yeah, this is...
Pauley Pavilion's pretty well known.
Sorry, Matt.
Sorry about that, Matt. Appreciate you joining us, and I will stay on Scraby to create a Tony versus the Fan Open.
I think
you can count on it.
I think that's in the workings. At least that's what he's telling us. Mark in Poway. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you?
Hey, guys. I actually called to talk to Scraby about something, but I'll do Chris versus the Fan.
The last guy that called in and wasn't trying to play ended up
winning.
Qualifying. You might be in luck here. Here we go. First question.
Great.
If you slice a golf ball and you're a right-handed golfer, which way is the ball going?
It's going to slice. It's going to go from left to right up to the
Nice work. Two questions away from calling a show that you didn't really mean to call for this reason. Question number two. What NFL city is the smallest market in the league?
Smallest market in the league. I've got to say... final answer, Green Bay.
Nice!
Very good, Mark.
Two for two.
Good, yeah.
Certainly.
Tiny little town with nothing but football fans.
That's right.
They all own a piece of the team.
Right.
They do.
In a neighborhood,
exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
Question number three. Things get a little more difficult here.
Dicey.
Seven of the original schools in this NCAA conference were founded before the American Revolution. Which conference was it?
Holy cromoly. I'm going to say ACC.
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
Stay there,
Hang
Mark.
On, Mark.
Stay there, Mark.
He's not going anywhere. He didn't call to even play. He wants to talk to you.
That's right.
Oh, I'm saying stay there because I don't know if you know this.
Can you repeat the question because I want to make sure I'm answering the right
question. Yes, absolutely.
Here.
Seven of the original schools in this NCAA conference were founded before the American Revolution. Which
Ivy League is the only thing I can remotely guess.
bounce
Sorry,
back.
Mark. Stay there, Mark. I'll come back to you in the break.
Yeah, Mark.
We'll get back to you and get your question answered.
Let's go to our next contestant, Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the show. Happy Thursday.
Hold on. Which one is Ryan?
Three.
There we go. Thank you,
Chris. Hi, Ryan.
Three.
Well, some of them say their name. Some of them just say their number.
Ryan, you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. First question. If you're listening to the show, you probably have this answer. What Aztec basketball player made some threes last night?
Ooh.
I
wasn't paying attention to last night's game, unfortunately.
You got a player name?
Oh, man.
Guess an Aztec.
No.
He said no.
Hello for the steal.
Good old Adam Seiko.
Adam Seiko.
Sorry about night. That, Ryan.
On
sorry,
fire.
Ryan. Ryan hung up faster than I could hang him up. I'm sorry, Ryan.
All right, let's move to our next contestant, Matt.
People get disgusted when they don't perform well on this show.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of slamming your helmet or your bat when you come back from a strikeout. I get it.
Or slamming your helmet on the sideline and have your coach hand it back
yes,
to you.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. It.
Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
Matt. How you doing?
Let's do it.
All right. We're
first question.
Sorry. Hurry up.
He wants to get to the game.
He wants to get to it.
What former USD football player, now Jacksonville Jaguar, fumbled late in the playoff game against the Chiefs?
I do not know his name.
That's a heck of a first question.
Yeah. That's a tough question.
Now that I hear it out loud, it's
yeah.
Number two.
You're going to give him number two?
I'm just going to answer.
You can say that.
Bad luck for Matt, that's all. Jamal Agnew. I called him Ray the other day. For some
you did call him Ray.
Do we feel like that was an unfair question?
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Chris, the luck Chris of the apparently
draw.
Doesn't.
No, I mean, it's the luck of the draw.
It's in sometimes, the first question topics.
Well, I gotta say. Some of the first questions are extremely easy. Some of them are a little tougher. I mean, that's just...
Right. I'm sorry, man. I was just trying to help a fellow Matt.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Let's go to Jay.
Ray Agnew was a player in the NFL, but anyway.
But not the one we were talking
not
about.
Not the one, yeah.
Jay, welcome to the show. How are you, my man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I just saw the video where Scraby throws the tee at Rory McIlroy, so I thought that was
pretty
funny.
All right. Yeah. He's out. I'm sorry. You
Jay,
answered the
you
question
win.
Wrong.
That's Jay, what I'm talking
about.
It's
I over. Got the first question wrong.
All right, Jay, here we go. First question. To Chris's point, some first questions are easier than others. What team did San Diego State's men's basketball team last lose to?
New Mexico?
Good job.
Scranny was almost ready to buzz him before he had a chance to answer.
No, that wasn't it.
He had the wrong answer
I
in there.
Did, I
he did.
Did. And then
did.
I
what
immediately...
did he have?
He had Air Force in
I there. Because I originally wrote the question, who was the last team that they beat?
Nice work, Jay.
I got it. I got it.
He got it in time. He did.
Okay.
Question number two. What is the nickname for Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy?
Former caddy.
Former caddy.
Bones?
Oh!
Wow!
Nice.
Oh, I love that.
I was going to say Fluff. Who was he?
Fluff was Jim Furyk's caddy. He also caddied for Tiger back in the day.
Okay. Very good.
Fluff was
nice job,
name?
Jay.
Yeah, Fluff. I think we had an open. Fluff's a pretty sweet caddy. He had like this big old mustache and
Oh yeah. I remember my man
smoking
with the
darts throughout every round.
Smoking darts. All right, Jay.
Maybe he could help Jim Furyk with that swing.
Oh yeah,
Jim Furyk's got a weird
he
swing.
He does.
Here we go. Question number
two. I wish
three.
I had that weird of a swing.
Yeah,
and
one
of
a major.
Yeah,
one of a major.
Yeah, except some pretty good results.
Millions of dollars. Yeah.
Oh, this is an interesting one. The Emperor's Cup is awarded in what sport?
Sumo wrestling?
You better knock
wow.
it off.
What?
Oh,
oh my goodness.
I never guessed that in 1,000 years.
Jay.
Way to go, Jay.
Jay,
stay
hang
there,
on the
Jay.
Line.
That was awesome.
Scraby's going to get your info.
That was crazy.
That's very smart thinking. Emperor, Japan. That was well thought out.
I thought
by Jay.
He had zero shot to get that
yeah,
right.
I know I had zero shot.
That That's impressive, Jay. Nice very work.
That's super impressive.
Good winner today, and also came on and made fun of Scraby. So that's a perfect contestant as far as
in
I'm
your
concerned.
Eyes,
yes.
In your eyes, it's a perfect contestant.
That was a perfect contestant.
Well, let's get to break. We've got, I don't know what we call this segment, like some TMZ-type issues that have popped up in sports. We got people Ubering Eats to
yeah,
stadiums.
We discussed that.
We got FCC dropping, wanting to drop a heavy fine on the NFL. We'll explain it all when we return. More Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Gwen and Chris Show. 421 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, hanging out at the Odyssey Palace Studios. The golf is pretty much done for the day out at the Farmers Insurance Open. Sam Ryder is your second round leader at 12 under par. Brendan Steele is 3 shots back. Tano Goya is in third place.
Love my guy, Tano. All household
five
names.
5 shots off the lead. I'm not going there. I'm not even going to say that they're not household names. Here's a couple of household names. Max Homa is at 6 under par. Jason Day is at 5 under par. John Rahm is at 4 under par.
What about Justin Thomas? Where is he?
Justin Thomas is at 2 under par. So all of those guys still have a shot, but 12 under is a pretty good score.
I feel like that's going to come down.
Posted by my man Sam Ryder, who's looking for his first ever victory.
I've loved that I've entered into Chris's vocabulary.
Yes, I love
my man.
That's a proud moment.
I might have even used it last night trying to calm a couple of kids down in that Saints Hoover basketball game that I officiated. Mark from Poway is on the line. He wants to chat about what I did last night. Mark, what's going on?
Yes, he was telling me a story.
What did I do? Tell me what I did.
All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
we got you.
Okay, so I met Chris really quick. I met Chris Thursday night at my son's basketball game out at Santana, and he was reffing that game, and he teed up one of my friend's sons, and we asked him about it, and he shouted out, he gave me a shout out on Monday. He said, I'll call you out on the radio Monday, and he did it. Tony was busting up about, how many kids do you tee up, Chris? So that was funny. So then my nephews go to St. Augustine, where the Saints were playing Hoover last night. I took me and a couple of my friends and my son to the game. Who comes strolling in 7 minutes late to the game is Chris Ello to ref the game.
Yeah, we already went over the late issue.
That
was not
great.
My fault.
He tees up 3 kids last night. Oh my gosh, Chris, what's the deal with teeing up all these youngsters just trying to learn basketball?
Yeah,
why are you teeing up so many people, Chris?
Well, I didn't tee up anybody who was playing basketball last night. I teed up a couple of kids who were having a wrestling match on the floor. There was a jump ball. One kid grabbed one kid around the ankles and wouldn't let go. The kid who was grabbed around the ankles and leg didn't like it and started to push him back. So we gave a
couple
double
tees.
Technicals there. There was a technical later in the game that was not called by me. But I called a hand-checking foul on this one kid for Saints, and he apparently, once I turned my back, gave kind of a disgusted reaction. So my partner teed him up in protecting me. So thank you, Mark. And by the way, you should tell your son, the kid from Santana, that I was talking to a totally different official outside the Santana game, and I told him I did a Santana game, your friend's son. And he said, did this one care? Would this one tall kid, was he mouthing off a lot? And I said, oh, my God, yeah, that was the kid that I teed up. So your friend's son has, like, He has
like a reputation.
He's got a reputation around the officials' camp of being a kid who talks during games. So,
in your defense, Chris, he does get teed up every once in a while.
Is that right? So there you go. So
thanks for the phone call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, good seeing you last night.
Hey, yes. I will say, man, the same thing just happened to me, Scrape.
Now you forgot?
The thought just left.
Yeah, it'll if you're just tuning into the show, he said, I strolled in 7 minutes late. And I don't want people thinking that I'm a
just showing up late.
Total beatnik, you know, referee. The game was originally scheduled for 7:30. They never told me that it got changed to 7 o'clock, and that's why I did enter the gym about 7 minutes after.
So it's someone else's fault.
It is in this case. Yes.
Oh, okay. Just because you.
I remember what I wanted to ask you. Did I get my two finger tee?
I think I did two over two.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about, baby.
Both of the coincidental technicals.
My kids go off to college, that might be something I explore.
Tried a little of officiating.
Yeah, I might go to class and
do
the whole thing.
It's a challenge like no other. To officiate one of those games. And I will tell you, I got a shout out to my partner, Carlton Big Dog Phillips. Big Dog was fantastic last night. First of all,
this one of your referee guys?
He's my partner last night, and he's the one who called the technical to protect me when the other kid gave a disgusted look. So I appreciate that. But that game last night, after the wrestling thing with the two, St. Augustine was so good. They were dunking on Hoover like every time down the floor. And Hoover was feeling some type of way, a guy getting dunked on every time.
I hope so.
So they started pushing back, and Saints was mouthing off, and you know it
could have got ugly without those teams.
It could have got ugly without Carlton Big Dog Phillips helping me last night. So thank you, Big
Part
Dog.
Part of officiating, as much as it is to call the rules, is to also keep the temperature down.
Yeah, it wasn't easy last night. I will tell you that.
Yeah, when the team's getting beat up, it can get ugly.
There was one sequence where Saints must have dunked like seven baskets in a row. They just got in a flow with the game, and they stole about three passes. And Mike Hopped, my man, he's got a good team over there. I even told him at halftime, I said, "Your team is unbelievable." And he said, "Yeah, they're pretty quick."
Yeah,
and they are. Just absolutely insanely quick.
Should a referee be saying that to a head coach?
Yeah, you can have a little conversation with the coach.
All right,
half
time. Just making sure.
I just tell him he had a good team. That doesn't mean I'm going to change many of my calls, or you know, I mean, he still was unhappy with a few calls along the way. But I just told him he had a good team. I mean, that's not something he didn't already know.
Right. So. Scrape. Tell us about this FCC stuff we got here.
Oh, okay. So I guess last week during Fox NFL Sunday, or actually the pregame show on November 28th, the FCC has proposed fining Fox $504,000 for falsely using the emergency alert system during an NFL promo. I didn't see this, but I assume
you have firsthand experience with
this. Yes, we'll tell you about that in just a second.
Wait a second. What is the emergency alert system?
Oh, where it goes,
what does it sound like?
It goes, beep.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the...
I didn't think
you were going to do that. I thought you were going to play your little silly siren that you play.
Oh, no, that's not it.
That's
terrific.
This has been a test of the emergency alert
system.
Scrape,
you're amazing, man. I did not expect you to actually make the sounds.
Oh, I thought that's what you were going for. That's what you were going for. So they have proposed fining Fox $504,000, and I think that what they did was they probably used it as some sort of like music behind a video or something like that, if they're showing players or whatever. But yes, I do have firsthand experience with this because years ago, what have we almost been on the show for 5 years now? So maybe like 6 years ago, I was working on a different station, and Hawaiians got a text message saying that a missile was on the way to their island. Do you guys remember this? There was a missile alert, emergency alert that popped up on everybody's phone.
That question was on Jeopardy last night.
What?
Believe it or not.
What was the question?
The question was, what state had a missile scare erroneously in January of 2018?
Wow,
that was that long ago?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Time has been warped because of COVID, I swear.
And it was someone who typed in the wrong alert. Like, you don't have better
systems in place to make sure you don't send out a missile alert. But anyway,
people in Hawaii were actually scared, and rightly so, based on the alert that a missile was headed in their direction.
It was. And so on the radio show the next day, we wanted to give everybody the effect of what it was like on those Hawaiian islands when the emergency alert. So you know what I did? A producer did. I went and got the actual audio from what they did. And played it on the air, not realizing you're not allowed to play it on the air. And my boss at the time came running down the hallway as fast as he humanly could and said, "Stop playing that!" Because we were having fun with it.
Did you have a terrified look?
I did.
I can only imagine.
I did. Because, honestly, if someone's in their car and we played a emergency alert tone, that would scare people. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Don't mess around with emergency stuff. Very valuable lesson.
Wow.
I haven't messed around with it since.
No, I have not touched the emergency alert.
Well, I'd like to see
alert.
Fox Corp find all 504K.
Yeah, I don't care either. Do it.
Yeah. Get in the bill.
You know, they got the money for it. Like, come on. Just pay up. The other one is Ed Reed. He called out Shannon Sharp with some screenshots over the Bethune-Cookman fallout. And Tony's our Shannon Sharp expert here on the show. He's a big fan of Shannon Sharp.
He loves
everything that Shannon Sharp does.
I don't know if I love everything, but I like...
liked when Shannon Sharp yelled at the Grizzlies. Yeah, the other night.
That was I told you guys that was on some Laker ish. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't like real life. Shouldn't do that in real life, but that was Laker stuff. So Ed Reed, who was at one time named a Bethune-Cookman head coach for the football team,
right?
Then the school later decided after he criticized
the conditions of
his office and the school.
Right.
They rescinded that, basically. They basically decided they weren't going to, I think it was ratify or something along those lines, his contract.
Yeah, ratify. They keep using this word. I thought it was just sign the contract.
Like, right, you sign it. No. As talking heads do, that was one of the subjects on Undisputed. And he said... And it wasn't even that big a deal. I think he said something along the lines, Ed Reed probably shouldn't have vocalized that publicly in terms of his own office. But ultimately, he made the case that Ed Reed was right about what he was saying.
Yes, and Ed Reed is enacted a change, basically, in some of these historically black colleges and universities now.
And
they're taking a look at some of these things.
Ed Reed took issue with what Shannon Sharp said. And so Shannon Sharp, behind the scenes, he DM'd him, and he said, "Bro, I support you. If you took offense to anything I said, I apologize. Think you're going to make a hell of a coach. God didn't think that was the right situation for you. All the best." But that didn't seem to bring down the temperature for Ed Reed. So Ed Reed went back and forth with him, and I think Ed Reed's issue was that he went on TV and had those things to say. And in the Hall of Fame circle, football Hall of Fame circle, I think if you're that close, I think Ed Reed's thinking is, you should have just reached out to me and got my take on what it was before you went on air.
So one Hall of Famer criticizing another.
Right. And so that's basically the end. I think Shannon Sharp ended his last message by saying, "Listen, I voiced an opinion. It's not that deep. Wish you all the best, but I'm done with this." Like, this is silly. I think Ed is just probably still pissed off that Bethune-Cookman didn't do what they should have did, which was continue to hire
him. I'll tell you one thing. Shannon Sharp or Skip Bayless, one of the two of them, gets a mention on our show way too often.
Recently, it's been a lot, and that leads me to believe that everything that we've talked about is a ploy.
I only
it really
said that
does.
To set Scraby up. To say what
which
he
you
said.
Which you have been putting on a clinic on all day.
But isn't that true?
Just takes the bait. Every time.
Because that's what I actually believe.
That it's
a ploy.
What's the
ploy? To get us to talk about them. Get more eyes on Undisputed.
In the same way the McDonald's Uber Eats guy, it worked for him, it works for everybody else too. Because here we talked about both of them today.
Well, we're talking about it, but my suggestion is you never watch the show Undisputed. So there.
Fair enough.
Okay.
let's get to break when we come back. Big Five. On the way.
Luis Campusano question on the way.
Indeed. Morgan and Chris on the way.
I wish people were in studio right now. I turned on.
Why did you turn this on?
It's so entertaining, isn't it?
I am so distracted now.
It's the best of Stone Cold at WrestleMania matches.
Hey, Peacock's a beast for this.
It is.
This is the best part of Peacock.
Right now, Shawn Michaels is giving Stone Cold the figure four.
He's holding on to the ropes while he has a figure four.
Mike Tyson's outside of the ring. I'm going to go home and watch
it. I love that the referee is just not paying attention to him cheating right now.
He doesn't see anything of the cheating.
He says, hey, you get off the ropes. Okay.
Don't grab the ropes.
Number five.
This is not great radio for us to be talking about what we're watching on TV. But I will say it's very distracting to try to do this show while these guys are going through their geriatrics out there.
Geriatrics.
Theatrics.
Oh, they are very old at this point. Because this was in like 97, I think Chris said.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's get into it. And I told you about, we're going to say something about Luis Campusano. So, Dennis Lynn had part two of his Padres mailbag on The Athletic. And it came out today. And he was asked by someone about catcher Luis Campusano. We've seen him come up and down with the team, but now that Jorge Alfaro is no longer with the team, he is in line to get a lot more playing time. Tony, if it is Campusano and Nola as the two catchers on the team, how many starts does Campusano get?
I think that depends on how well he gets out the gate. I thought Cappy did a pretty good job when he came up the last time. He got some starts. I think he was catching Joe Musgrove almost exclusively before the playoffs started.
For a while.
And I thought he showed some improvement at the plate in his approach. Now, what's important at the big league level is once you've shown improvement is to keep improving. When you're given that opportunity, you got to cash it in. So I think he's in line right now to see some of probably the same time Jorge Alfaro saw behind the plate last year. But
I would think he would, at least that much, right? But every major league catcher is going to sit some.
100% nowadays.
In this day and age.
Nowadays,
yeah.
For sure. So I would say if he is productive, he's going to get as much time, really, as he wants.
There's one other guy that's in the mix, though, Pedro Severino, who they signed from the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know how much time he's going to get or if he's going to even make the team, but I would think Campusano's, that's got to be the reason they let go of Alfaro, is so that Campusano can play some.
Right.
He's on the roster,
right,
as a backup catcher. That's at least 40 games just because you're the backup catcher.
Not only that, I think it's going to... Is this the type of roster that can handle three catchers? Like, they could do it last year. They were a little thinner. I mean, but you look at the position players this year, you already have a glutton of infielders at this point.
Got a lot of shortstops.
You got a lot of shortstops.
The Padres can line up an I formation on defense at shortstop. Put Tatis behind Bogarts, Kim behind Tatis, and Cronenworth behind Kim.
Right. So it'll be interesting what the Padres do in terms of that two catchers, three catchers. It did give Bo Mel some flexibility when they did have three.
That's my answer too, Scrabby. I kind of incorporated it there.
All right. Now,
number four.
Last night in the game between the Warriors and the Grizzlies, Steph Curry was ejected with just over a minute to go after throwing his mouthpiece down the court after teammate Jordan Poole took a really bad shot. It wasn't directed at all at the referee or anyone in particular, but they did throw him out anyway, and he threw the mouthpiece really far into the stands. Steve Kerr said after the game, it's always going to be an automatic ejection. He didn't have any problems with them ejecting. He said that Steph needs to pay attention to what's going on in the game. But here is Steph Curry talking about... here is Steph Curry. Here is Steph Curry.
Oh, you're waiting for it to load? Is that what that is?
No. So talking about what happened during the game last night.
Yeah, it was, crucial time in the game, and the way that our season is going is... You know, there's questions about the heightened sense of urgency of every detail matters. And when you want something really bad, like just getting a win and then, fourth quarter execution, clutch time type situation, all that stuff does matter. So I reacted in a way that obviously put myself out of the game, put the team in a tough place. But the intentions and the energy around what matters and the sense of winning, that's what it's about. Thankfully, we all responded, or my teammates responded extremely well. Clay with a big shot, JP with, you know, the game winner at the end. Execution was great.
So he just goes on about that, but that's what he had to say about the mouthpiece incident. Now, Chris, he has been fined before for throwing his mouth guard. I saw earlier he's been fined $75,000 once before for his mouth guard. So, Chris, do you think that Steph Curry should be fined for this?
Yeah, you can't throw stuff into the stands, as harmless as a mouthpiece is.
It's do we just know it wins in the stands, by the way?
Yeah, that's a fair point, because I never saw this. I'm kind of going by what
you
Steve
said
Kerr said.
I thought that he said that
you
earlier.
Say it, you said it.
Oh. Now, I didn't say it, but you said that he threw it into the stands.
Okay.
Steve Kerr said that he was okay with the technical. If the mouthpiece went into the stands, I think you got to fine a player for throwing something into the stands. So that's my answer.
I liked Steph's comments there, because he made sure to reiterate that his reasoning for being mad was justified. And he did it without calling Jordan Poole out by name, right? Jordan Poole took like a 70-foot three-pointer.
It was such a bad shot.
With like 2:30 left in the game, and it was a close ball game in it. And as he said, this is a team that Chris pointed out earlier, is great on home, terrible on the road. They've lost a few at home here recently. And so that shot prompted the emotion that Steph Curry gave. That being said, as Chris said, if the mouthpiece went in the stands as it did the first time he did it, he should expect a fine. And he's going to have to find better ways to express his disappointment with his teammates when they take bad shots.
Throw them into the stands, but not your mouthpiece.
I guess Jordan Poole was just reading, jokingly threw a mouthpiece at Steph later.
He did. They had the cameras on, and as they walked back to the to the locker room, and he threw his mouthpiece off the wall.
That's kind of funny. Number three. We hear it every year from players on visiting teams in the NFL. Our stadium is louder than their stadium. Devo said it about the Eagles. Trevor Lawrence said it, his stadium was louder than Arrowhead. And what the Bengals players said on Sunday has Travis Kelce of the Chiefs just a little upset. Here is what the Bengals are calling Arrowhead after their win in Buffalo on Saturday or Sunday.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
So that was Mike Hilton saying, "We'll see y'all in Burrowhead."
You see who's next to him?
Eli Apple dancing, having the greatest
time
in the world.
Just being an antagonist.
Yes, being an antagonist with the biggest smile on his face. I actually enjoy him
first
most
of all, how can you be that
thing.
Happy and that cold at the same time? That's what I was told.
Very true. Very true. Well, as I said, Travis Kelce was a little bit upset. So he has a podcast called New Heights with his brother Jason Kelce. It's a great podcast. Here is what Travis Kelce had to say about Burrowhead.
Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week, because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa!
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, man.
So, you heard it. They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there. Tony, you're up first. If you were a coach, would you discourage your players from doing this?
No, I think there's a fine line with that, right? You want your team to exude confidence. Now, although as a coach you may not agree with the way his team has gone about it, I don't know that you necessarily want to put a muzzle on your guys who, quite frankly, have only proven they're worth every week for the last 10 weeks, for 10 straight games after reaching a Super Bowl last year. So, I mean, listen, for me, it's not my cup of tea. I wouldn't want my team going at it like that. But at the same time, this is part of the Bengals swagger. Now, the consequences is that maybe the Chiefs lock in a little bit more. But it's the AFC Championship game. If they ain't locked in for this chance to go to the Super Bowl,
point.
I don't know what's going to get you there.
Chris, if you're a head coach, would you discourage your players from doing this?
This is a definite no-no 20 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
A probable no-no 10 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
A maybe no-no 5 years ago. And you almost demand it from the players. I mean, that's just how things have changed. I mean, guys all, I mean, Travis Kelce is right to say that, you know, they're putting some bulletin board material. I'm pretty sure if you look hard enough, you can find some Chiefs that are pretty confident in themselves as well. It's the way these athletes are now. I've come to, you know, not love it, but accept it.
I tell you what, you know where you wouldn't find this at? New England.
No, that's true.
They'll do the opposite. They'll talk a team up as if they're the greatest thing ever.
That's what I'd like my guys to do, but I know I would not be in control of that anymore.
Nah, yeah.
These athletes, this is the way they like to get up for games, is to somewhat disrespect their opponents.
Burrowhead.
I'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Number two. Eli Apple.
That he wasn't the one saying it, though. He was just dancing.
He's right there co-signing it, though.
He's going to get burned for at least one touchdown this Sunday. Karma has to come calling.
I'm starting to become a fan of Eli Apple for whatever reason. I don't know why. The Jets have found their new offensive coordinator. The team announced the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett on Thursday morning. Oh, wow. You're getting a standing ovation for their hire of him. He replaces Mike LaFleur, who left the team after the end of the regular season. Chris, do you have to throw out his head coaching record when considering him for a coordinator job?
I'm not. I guess that's what they're doing. I mean, right?
Where was he at before? Was he a coordinator?
Green Bay. Right, and that's what Aaron Rodgers. Remember, Aaron Rodgers
was supposedly
him up for the head coaching job, and then people in Green Bay said he only did that because he wanted to get rid of him. There was a bit of a theory that Aaron Rodgers talked him up on purpose. I don't know. They have to throw out his head coaching record if they're going to hire him.
Yeah, you can certainly aren't picking off of it.
I've ever seen. You know, now maybe as a coordinator he'll be better, but I'm happy that the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett because as a
division fan,
I'm not too concerned about
it. They did
him.
Not help themselves. Tony, what do you think? Do you have to throw his record out as a head coach?
Yeah, I think so. And to be fair, right, we've seen guys not cut it as a head coach, a la Mike McDaniels, and then be able to cut it as a coordinator because that's you're not
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels. Too many McDaniels out there.
there are.
Because we've seen guys, you know, managing a whole football team is a whole lot different than just focusing on one portion of it. So maybe this is Hackett's strong suit here.
It could be.
Number one.
T. Higgins. He was mic'd up in the game last week against the Bills. He's not a fan of snow at all. Here he is.
I'm right there with you, T.
Here he is talking to his teammates. It's just like kind of a random bunch of clips.
Hey, snow angel. Snow angel. Nah, I ain't getting on that ground. I ain't getting on that ground.
I ain't what, doing that route?
Snow angels.
Dude, hat. Got a hat on. I'm talking about like a hat with a bill. I thought this hat was going to work. Pointless.
He's wearing this hat, and it's like just collecting snow on the top of it. It's really funny.
Where's T. Higgins from? What school did he go to?
I think he's from Florida.
He went to Clemson. I'm going to have to look that up. But anyway, the question for you guys is, Tony, is T. Higgins a number one wide receiver in the NFL?
I think he is, man. He has all, I mean, he's huge. He's big, and he runs like a 4.3. Like, the dude is a blazer, and he's big. Big catch radius. I think he is.
Chris, T. Higgins, number one receiver in the NFL?
I have no reason to say he's not.
All right.
It's too hard to tell.
Good answer. You never know
what he's going to do without Jamar Chase on the other side, but
that's true.
Seems like a number one. He'll probably get paid pretty close to like a number one when he's a free agent.
Happy hour on the way. More Gwen and Chris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And
you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.